This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
I'll go ahead and get us started. So welcome to this second installment on our series on prayer. And so today we have Joe Berry, who's going to be with us. He's a member of the parish. And the first time I encountered Joe was actually through a class that he taught during Lent at Seton Cove back in the day. And so I know that he's a gifted facilitator and looking forward to his time with us today as he helps us to explore the prayer practice of Lectio Divina. But you get a bonus. We're also going to be talking about Visio Divina, and I'll let Joe say more about that here in just a moment. But we're very blessed to have him as a member of the parish and to have his gifts among us. And I'm grateful that he's sharing them with us today. So Joe, I'll just turn it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the invite. So I work at for Ascension Seton and have for about 19 years. That's where I met Mona through my my work at the Seton Cove at the time. Part of my position work there is to work with our associates, our employees, in helping them connect their work life with their spiritual life, and always kind of inviting them back into, you know, what is our meaning and purpose? Whether you're in healthcare or any other kind of job, we know how much that can occupy our time, and we sometimes can get away from, you know, why am I doing this? What brought me here? So part of my work is inviting people to take some time out and to learn practices such as what we're going to do today to help us reconnect with our own call into the work that we're doing or the life that we're leading. So it's a real pleasure to be able to share this with all of you. And I know some of you probably are very familiar with what we're going to be doing today. We're gonna practice both prayer practices as part of this series, and I brought some handouts, but I think mostly it's the invitation to you to, after today, to walk out of here and begin to, if it appeals to you, to begin to practice it in such a way. But I'd like to start with a proverb that I've thought about this week as I was preparing for this presentation. So once upon a time, there was a wise Zen master. People traveled from far away to seek his help. In return, he would teach them and show them the way to enlightenment. On this particular day, a scholar came to visit the master for advice. "I've come to ask you to teach me about Zen," the scholar said. Soon it became obvious that the scholar was full of his own opinions and knowledge. He interrupted the master repeatedly with his own stories and failed to listen to what the master had to say. The master calmly suggested that they should have tea. So the master poured his guest a cup. The cup was filled, yet he kept pouring until the cup overflowed onto the table, onto the floor, and finally onto the scholar's robes. The scholar cried, "Stop! This cup is already full. Can't you see?" "Exactly," the master said. You are like this cup, so full of ideas that nothing more will fill it. Come back to me with an empty cup." I'm always reminded of, the idea behind that story of, can I just get out of my way so that I can be in God's presence. Oftentimes, I think we come to prayer with, you know, a whole bag full of things, and just like, here's all the things I want to spend time with you about, and really in actuality, what it really is, what I think more meaningful is God's invitation to me to just put everything down, and just to be, just to kind of create some space. And not, bring that empty cup. On the walls, I put up a couple scripture quotes that kind of came to me this week, because kind of thinking about this idea of listening. Lectio, whether it be Lectio Divina or Visio Divina, is really about listening. It's really about how attuned am I to what God is trying to communicate with me, what I'm hearing. It was funny today in the sermon, she said, I had to go back and reread, those of you that were at church at 9 o'clock, you know, I had to go back and reread to read between the lines as to like, what's really being said here? I thought, oh, she did a little Lectio Divina. She kind of listened a little intently or with maybe a third ear, so to speak. And for those of you that are online, I'll kind of have you listen to as I read some of these scriptures. I will speak to you and listen closely. Be still and know that I am God. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. Incline your ear to me. Take care then how you hear. And if today you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. We might want to ask ourselves, what's God inviting us to? These are just a few quotes from scripture, but there's lots of places where God kind of just says, be quiet and sit still. So what is God inviting us to do? Just as you think about this, it's like there's so much that God wants. You know, I think God wants to kind of spend time with us and wants us to kind of bring that empty cup so God can have an opportunity to fill it. As you can experience some of the practices that happen over the next couple of weeks of this series, there's many ways that we can do this. It's not just one way. There's many ways that we're invited to do that. So today, again, we'll look at this practice of, we'll begin with Lectio Divina. And on this salmon-colored sheet, now does everybody have a copy? Okay. Roger has copies. Mona has some more. So this practice of Lectio has its origination in the monastic communities in the early part of the Christian era. And oftentimes I've also read some places where it also has its roots in Judaism, where we're thinking about the repetition of reading, the repetition of reading sacred scripture. And also can also use, you know, poetry, use any other kind of text that you kind of find as meaningful and sacred to yourself. And so the monks, as a way of creating and setting up a space for themselves for contemplation and meditation, began with this idea of Lectio. And so it's a divine reading. You'll see it says, you know, the prayer of Lectio Divina begins with cultivating the ability to listen deeply and to hear with the ear of our hearts, as Saint Benedict taught. And in order to hear someone speaking softly, well, we must learn to be silent. Lectio requires that we quiet down in order to hear God's word to us. This gentle listening is an awareness and openness to the presence of God through the revelation of scriptures. So we're gonna practice this, and you'll see. Let me just kind of walk us through the steps, and you can do this individually or you can do this in a group. You know, select a scripture passage that you'd like to use, or some other meaningful reading. Read it slowly, thoughtfully. What word or phrase? Think about what word or phrase captures your attention or grabs your heart. And linger with it whenever this happens. Reflect slowly and prayerfully. Read the passage again. What is God saying to you in this passage, asking you? What feelings are rising within you? And we respond slowly and prayerfully. Read the passage again. Respond to God from your heart. Speak to God of your feelings and insights. And then thirdly, read the passage, or fourthly, read the passage another time. And just allow yourself to sit with it. Kristen, you need
just a quick question.
Sure, sure. It
said once you've selected a passage, is there some sort of what guides or directs you when you're deciding a passage to read?
I think it's up to you. Some people maybe are reading a particular gospel, and maybe reading through that as our daily prayer. Another way is to kind of look at the Sunday scriptures, what's coming up, and maybe sit with one of those scriptures that's coming for the next Sunday, or maybe after today, there may be something that was said during the sermon today, like, maybe I think I'm gonna go back to that gospel reading. Maybe I'll kind of sit with that this week, because I'm not quite sure I can tell the difference between weeds and wheat, as she described. So I think you maybe kind of listen to what you're kind of being drawn to. Good question. Thanks. So I brought along a contemporary version of Psalm 62, and it's written by a woman by the name of Christine Robinson, and she has a blog spot called Doubter Psalms, and just kind of puts it in a little more contemporary language. So I'm going to just read this, and you can either follow along with the words, or just kind of sit there with your eyes closed and just hear the words. We'll read it a couple of times. I wait quietly for God's touch in my heart, and that is my strength and my salvation. Remembering that touch, I am free. The day's events do not shake me. I am often besieged from within and without by forces that would topple me. Doubts, difficulties, enemies, depressions, my own double-mindedness. I wait quietly for God's touch in my heart. In that touch, I know my strength and my salvation. Put your trust in God. Pour out your heart and find refuge. For people, leaders, and nations are all temporal. Idolizing wealth is foolish. Our education and good deeds take us only so far. When God speaks in our hearts, that is what gives life its shine. It opens us to love and helps us to be loving. Therefore, I wait quietly for God's touch in my heart. So let's hear it again. And this time, when we finish, I'll invite you to just kind of speak into the room a word or a phrase that connects with you. You don't have to say why. Just allow it, just kind of lift it up. If somebody says the word you were going to say, go ahead and say it anywhere. Say it again, because it probably bears repeating. Sometimes when I do this and people say words, I go, I didn't hear that word. and so it kind of reminds me, like, I may not be listening as closely as I thought. I wait quietly for God's touch in my heart. And that is my strength and my salvation. Remembering that touch, I am free. The day's events do not shake me. I am often besieged from within and without by forces that would topple me. Doubts, difficulties, enemies, depressions, my own double-mindedness. I wait quietly for God's touch in my heart. In that touch, I know my strength and my salvation. Put your trust in God, pour out your heart and find refuge. For people, leaders, and nations are all temporal. Idolizing wealth is foolish. Our education and good deeds take us only so far. When God speaks in our hearts, that is what gives life its shine. It opens us to love and helps us to be loving. Therefore, I wait quietly for God's touch in my heart. Or invite any words or phrases.
Remembering.
The day's events do not shake. Shine.
Gives life its shine.
If all is foolish.
Opens us to love. Bringing life.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing me into existence and others.
Find gratitude. One-on-one, but quietly, each other.
Quietly, with God's touch in my life.
For the person online, come in and protect me.
Let's hear this one more time. And as we, as you hear it this time, think about, you know, what's God saying to me in this passage? What feelings or thoughts are coming up as I hear this? I wait quietly for God's touch in my heart, and that is my strength and my salvation. Remembering that touch, I am free. The day's events do not shake me. I am often besieged from within and without by forces that would topple me. Doubts, difficulties, enemies, depressions, my own double-mindedness. I wait quietly for God's touch in my heart. In that touch, I know my strength and my salvation. Put your trust in God. Pour out your heart and find refuge. For people, leaders, and nations are all temporal. Idolizing wealth is foolish. Our education and good deeds take us only so far. When God speaks in our hearts, that is what gives life its shine. It opens us to love and helps us to be loving. Therefore, I wait quietly for God's touch in my heart. Just give you a moment just to kind of just to think about and reflect on, you know, what is God saying to you in this passage? What feelings are arising within you? How does it speak to you?
and touch and salvation.
So invite any, if anybody would like to share something that came up for them during that. Yes.
I notice it's in present tense. It's not past tense. It's not future. It's now. And what kept popping up was waiting, sitting quietly. It's a verb. It's an action step. Sometimes I feel like I need to do something. And waiting is doing something. Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. Yeah. You know, oftentimes think waiting is we're doing nothing except getting impatient.
Kind of felt there was another message like, don't forget God, like when you get in sort of really involved in the craziness of life, and everything takes time to step away and think about Him and what He wants, everything. So maybe you never leave or something like that, but I kind of. Yeah, overall theme of this.
Mm-hmm. I think what I got was to be quiet, to listen to what God is saying, and be open to what you hear.
Mm. Thank you.
And quiet is hard.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yes. Yes, sir.
The message I got is God is with me and is always ready to touch my heart.
Mm-hmm. All folks online, to trust and to be soft and another to prevail. Mm-hmm.
First word I remembered when we first did it was remembering, and there was many meetings at that point before me, but then when it says remembering that touch, Now I remember over many years in the highs and the lows of my life that God has touched me and always been present and always faithful.
Thank you. Just going to invite us just to sit in silence for 2 minutes. Maybe just allow yourself to kind of be present. And I'm I want to kind of shift to the other practice of Visio Divina, these steps that we just did. You don't have to do them all at one time. You could just read and maybe just think of words or phrases and just kind of sit with that. It's up to you how to do that. If we probably we're at a monastery and we're doing this, kind of full blown. After we finish with the fourth time, we'd probably sit in silence for 30 minutes to an hour and just kind of being with the word. We don't have that luxury this morning, but know that you can approach this in however you want in terms of kind of creating that practice. I think the idea is being quiet and listening and allowing the words to kind of the repetition of the words kind of sink into us. And kind of keep sinking in deeper and deeper. So let's sit for 2 minutes. So we're gonna transition to Visio Divina. So if you want to turn the salmon page over, there'll be a little explanation on a process of how to do this. You'll see it says, related to the prayer of Lectio. This one dwells with the prayer of Visio Divina or divine seeing includes the contemplation of art, in conversation with God. In a society that is ever more inundated with images, Visio Divina requires us to slow down and to truly look. We open the eyes of our soul and see how the divine is illuminated for us in art. This practice does not require any special knowledge or appreciation of art, just a willingness to attend to and interact with colors, textures, forms, and overall impressions. Visio Divina is an invitation to wonder. The image comes alive with personal meaning meant just for us at this point in our spiritual journey. This is the same movement of the spirit we can experience when listening to scripture in the manner of Lectio. So I'm going to pass around an image. And Roger, if you'd help me with this. If you just leave the white side up first, don't look at the image yet. And we'll look at this together. So I invite you, and I'll walk you through this, the instructions that are on the sheet, but I'll just invite you to turn the image over so that you're, and everybody has the same image. So as you're looking at this, consider the image or the object before you. Look slowly and thoroughly, taking a first glance, noting the colors, movement, textures, people, places, and things. Remain with the image for a time. When you are ready, allow those sights and thoughts to pass by, making space for the inner eye of the heart to open and interact with the image. Now let's take a second look, a deeper look. Rest in the presence of the image. Allow the image to reach beyond the intellect and into the unconscious level. What truth does it hold for you? Engage your imagination. Where are you in the artwork? What do you see from that perspective? You may also journal and or use questions to inspire your reflections. How does this image inform or illuminate your relationship with God? How does it speak to your spiritual journey? How does this experience support your willingness to be opened, to be healed? So I invite you to be curious to know what's coming up for people as you sit with this picture.
Her eyes, it's like she's searching.
Okay.
Asking.
Mm-hmm. Her eyes, yeah.
Actually, looking just from judging from the expression of her face, she doesn't look surprised. She doesn't look surprised.
She doesn't look surprised. Mm-hmm. Calming. Uh-huh. You know what this is, a painting of?
Annunciation.
So this is Henry Asawa Tanner's version of the Annunciation. So you think about the artwork of the Annunciation is mostly Renaissance painting. You know, and it's, you know, Mary is kind of adorned as, you know, some princess. And when I ran across this a few years ago and learned more about the painter, I thought this is probably a little bit more of what it might have been like. You know, here's this woman who's just kind of, you know, a young woman, kind of like maybe just kind of woken up out of bed, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, by responding to some kind of invitation. You know, there's no, you know, there's this bright light. It's not the Renaissance archangel. It's a very different kind of approach. And I guess, you know, kind of going into that and knowing like that might be more what my experience is like. Maybe not the bright light, but but the idea that God comes to me in the place that I am. I don't have to be, you know, painted up into a Renaissance painting to communicate that. That God comes in my everyday life. Any other thoughts that people had about this particular?
Someone online said that beauty, the amazing golden rays in the corner, never eyes look sad.
Eyes look sad, okay.
In some ways, the body looks defensive because her knees are together, her hands are together, but her hands are relaxed. They're not tied around the chest, so she's accepting of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Her head tilted, like she's trying to understand. Mm-hmm. Now, what was the name of the painter
then? His name is Henry Asawa, Ossawa Turner. He's an African-American painter of the late 19th century from Philadelphia.
To be irreverent here, but there's a little bit of the kind of like, you've got to be kidding.
I don't think that's irreverent at all. I think that's a pretty honest response, you know, so you got to be, you know, who, me? You know, and that's where I think, you know, when we have an opportunity to do this kind of reflective work and prayer work, is that, you know, some of our own responses that, you know, how do I respond to God in that way? You know, where are the times when I go, you got to be kidding? You know, you know, I'm sure that may have been part of her experience as well. It seems that our yes to God takes a little bit more, you know, takes a little work on God's part as well as our own to respond. Just as we would in any other relationship, we've got to get to know, we got to trust, that this is you know what I'm being called and asked to do. Any other thoughts about the picture? Is anything that can have come up?
It looked a little bit to me like one of my children, when I tell them something, is they probably don't want to hear. A little bit of that. So definitely a contemplation and stillness there as they process something incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought when I was initially looking at this and deciphering it, I didn't know what the event was they were referring to, but I thought it was just a kind of a like a snapshot of this, someone from the human heaven coming and just comforting a woman who's been in a lot of distress in life through a lot of hardship and just finally giving her some relief.
Mm-hmm. And that may have been so, you know. I think the questions and the idea, you know, what we think about that picture, you know, we might, you know, maybe kind of turn that on to ourselves as like, you know, so, you know, where is it that I'm looking for relief? Where, how is God, you know, present in my life, or what is God asking of me? I think that sometimes looking at, you know, doing the Visio work, we get an insight into our own relationship with God, and it, which, you know, maybe doing, you know, reading scripture words or things like that, that's maybe doesn't provide the insight that looking at art would, or even creating art. You know, there's also another way of kind of, I think you could do this, is creating your own sculpture or painting that expresses your own experience of God in your life.
Aside from the figure, you know, the colors, the contrast of the red, which is stark, but then you have the draping of the linens and her clothes and the rug that sort of lends a comfort to it, sort of juxtaposed against this bright red and then this bright red.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a comforting picture. She's enveloped in this drapery, this clothing and bed.
Also impressed with the simplicity of the space, of the room. You know, there's nothing that really stands out between the pictures or,
mm-hmm.
or other models.
And speak to that, and made me think she was decluttering a home.
Yeah.
And maybe we declutter. We fix mm-hmm. the outside. The only thing left is to declutter whatever's inside.
Yeah.
And I was also going to follow up on what Diane said about the colors were all warm colors. And so I think that the way you described that was that you know she was enveloped was the word that you used. I thought was perfect because of surrounded her in the warmth of holiness and so
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah, good. The question you might ask, what was the artist trying to convey about God's presence? You know, is that the colors kind of convey a warmth, a sense of a safety or like that idea about decluttering. So it kind of reminds me of the story we started with about having an empty cup. You know, can I come to this relationship? Can I come to these prayer practices without an agenda? because we all like agendas, you know. You know, I want this, 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 you know, but can I just show up and just be? I think this is one of those practices that invites us into being with God and not so much doing and having to get all this stuff done, but just even though the scripture quotes on the walls kind of mostly say, listen. How do we create space for us to listen? Anything else? Any questions about any of this or?
I guess I'm just thinking of how difficult it is in our time, our day, with everything that we have, social media, computers, cell phones, you know, everything, we're surrounded by stuff and noise. Amazing watching people walking their dogs, looking at their phone. Or even sitting together, and everybody's looking at something else. That'd be really challenging today to hear God's voice. You have to be intentional, of course, always, but even more so now.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Roger. I got Mary, you had your hand up.
Do you have any advice for people who, when they see something, have 17 ideas on what it says, or people who, it's not necessarily ADD, hyperactive brain, but it might be sort of toward that. You know, how do you not have 87 thoughts going on when you see the spiritual passage?
Mm-hmm. I probably keep going back to the scripture passage and maybe kind of winnowing it down, the thought, you know, which is the thought that keeps coming up. A person could write all of those things down just so they see them on paper and kind of get them off their mind and onto a piece of paper. And then begin to kind of think, you know, what stands out. And it may take some time. You know, maybe I sit with the, if I have 87 different, you know, thoughts about this particular scripture, maybe I sit with it for a while and just see, you know, which ones kind of really kind of come up. Our mind is going to do that. We're going to come up with lots of different things, but kind of give it space to be. Roger, what you're saying, we also want to like tie everything up in a neat bow and get it done and move on to the next thing. And because we move so quickly, and this kind of is, I think these practices of prayer that we're hearing about over the next couple of weeks really kind of tell us this. It's, you know, to slow down. There's no hurry. There's nothing needs to be finished. I don't know if that helps you or not, Mary.
I know there's other people like me out there.
Yeah.
They may not have come here.
But I'm reflecting, one of the questions is, where are you in the artwork? And I'm curious about if, you know, how other people felt about this. I felt like I wanted to go give her a hug, help her or bring her something in some way. And I'm wondering kind of what other people thought.
Anybody see themselves in the artwork?
I thought this was me 6 years ago. I've gone through a lot of strife and hardship in my life, particularly in my young adulthood. And, you know, I felt like I had the God and the kingdom come in my life, you know, give me a lot of relief.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been an interesting 6 years since, but now I'm starting to experience the benefits. You know, they promised me with their plan, like I have my first real job in 11 years. So now I have to work part-time job, retail jobs. get a real good professional job now, making good money. So just think of one of many things to come, not finally that the work is hard for.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
I put myself right in the purple. I mean, I not that I have had an experience like that, but the picture really makes me wonder how I would respond to a spiritual presence, a visit, an angel with a message like she received.
Mm-hmm. Brings up a good thought that of, you know, how often do I experience God's presence, and where are the places? I always think of like Moses and the burning bush. Where are the burning bushes in my life, and how many have I walked past? and not recognized because I was moving too fast, or was too busy, or I wasn't really looking. So that's, I think this young woman could probably teach us a lot.
One of my favorite songs is "We Are Each Other's Angels" by Sarah Hickman. And it reminds us that this light that we're seeing here comes through each other. You know, sometimes we don't recognize it because we're looking for the big invitation or the big call, but it may be the person just standing right in front of us, inviting us to whatever, just to be present, to be with. So we are each other's angels.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think we'll end with that, Roger. Thank you. We are each other's angels. Thank you all very much for participating today. It was probably a little different than maybe what we normally do on Sundays, but I wanted you to try to get a sense of what these practices are like. If there's something about these particular practices that you like, I encourage you to go and, you know, make it part of your own prayer life. See what you discover. So thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.